If you represent one spouse, you're going to need to start early in the engagement in tempering their expectations. They may come into the marriage saying, look, we've both got our own assets. We've both got our own lives. We don't really need to provide for each other. We're all just going to provide for our own children. So I want you to devise a plan where I don't have any provisions at all for my spouse. You need to make them aware of all of those things that John Ross talked about at lunch. For example, the family allowance, the ability of a surviving spouse to petition a court for the amount needed for support for 1 year, many other rights. So keep that in mind. If you represent both spouses, there are going to be some ethics issues you need to think about. The disciplinary rules talk about two primary issues that are going to be a problem. You can't represent two clients with conflicting interest. And in this case, they may want to provide both for the surviving spouse and for their children from a prior marriage. That is a built-in conflict. There is a potential for litigation after you pass away. So keep that in mind. Confidentiality is also an issue if they both want you to represent them. Remember, you cannot disclose confidential information to a second party, but that's an untenable situation when you represent both spouses. It's simply not possible to keep it that way. So, luckily, the disciplinary rules allow for us to obtain written waivers of those conflicts and confidentiality issues in our engagement agreements. So make sure that you have those. Let me mention one other constituency here, and that's the adult children. I've cited in the paper several Texas cases dealing with the issue of, do you represent the children? Have you conducted yourself in such a way that they thought that you represented them and you didn't make it clear enough to them, and suddenly you've got ethics issues after one of the parents dies? I can remember many years ago, I did an estate plan for a couple in Midland who just had sold an oil company. That was back in the day when oil was a thing and when estate taxes were a thing. And we did all of this complicated estate planning, family limited partnerships, irrevocable trusts, sales of defective grantor trusts, the whole nine yards. The family asked me down to be with them for their Christmas lunch at their Horseshoe Bay condo. And so I said, sure, I'll do that. They wanted me to explain the estate plan to the children, which I don't necessarily disagree is a bad thing, but I can tell you the first thing I said in my speech to the children was, I don't represent you guys. If you think that there's any issues here where you need to be represented, you need to go get your own attorney. So just be very, very careful that the children don't think that you are their attorney. All right, we're into the engagement now. We need to find out the basic facts in this situation. Like any estate planning engagement, you're going to need to get an inventory of the assets. Not extremely detailed, but enough to understand what you're dealing with. This is a second marriage for both folks, so it's possible there's a prenuptial agreement. You'll need to find out about that. You'll need to try to learn the character of the property. And when I say character of the property, I mean community or separate, to the best that you can in this initial review of their situation. Family dynamics, you'll need to think about that and try to dig a little and see if you can discern if there are underlying items of dispute and discord already. You never know, but it's possible. Also, problematic assets. I'll detail some of those in a minute, but find out if there are assets that are going to be creating a particular problem in the estate planning. And retirement accounts, which are also a problematic asset, but are a separate category, and we'll talk about those in a minute. The inventory. So are there, find out what's going on. Are there assets that they brought into the marriage, like the residence? Is it this separate property of one of the spouses? We know that Texas is an inception of title state. So if one of them brought it into the marriage, it's still separate property because they owned it prior to the marriage. However, are they making payments on mortgages from community property? That can create a community property claim for reimbursement after the owner of that house passes away. Are there closely held businesses? Are there oil and gas interests? A lot of times people inherit those from family here in Texas. So those very well might be a separate property. Are there investment accounts, and how are they styled? Are they payable on death? Are they joint tenants with right of survivorship? And try to find out values as best you can, because again, you just need to make sure there's no estate tax issues. That's not the biggest reason. The primary reason is you need to make sure that you understand the relative value of assets that may be needed to expand into the estate plan. Okay, did they bring a prenuptial agreement into the marriage? And